Blog Talk Radio.
This is ATL Designer, the host of In the Mood, and you are listening to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle, right here on Blog Talk Radio. You know, Terry brings you all the hot topics for your listening pleasure. Each and every Friday, 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Just go to www.blogtalkradio.com. That's www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can also reach Terry direct. Her number is 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. So log in, listen, enjoy. I'll see you there.
Tell me why it ain't enough.
everybody. This is Chris Michael Ward filling in for the hostess with the mostest, authoress Carrie E. Lyle. Before I bring on one of my favorite guests we've had on the show, Mr. Alan Wright, and introduce one of my favorite co-hosts, minus the host, minus Terry, Mark Anthony Rail, I'm in a brain fart. I want to let you know that song was from Backstreet Boys, and it's called I Want It That Way. Now, as a child of the 90s, I will say that I was growing up to that song. But I am an old fogey at heart and spirit, so when we go to break, I will be playing a hot little gem for all of you people who are older than me. And since I'm the youngest one on the show, as always, I mean, I love the oldies, the goodies for oldies. All right, so before further ado, let me introduce Mr. Mark Anthony Riel. Hello, Mark. Hold on.
Hello, Chris.
Hello, Mark.
Hey.
Oh, hello, Terry. I clicked the wrong
number. Oh, Terry.
Hey, Mark.
Oh, cool.
I just want to pop in because I want people to understand that I appreciate Chris and Mark, y'all handling it down for me because I'm going through a lot of stuff, and I just want to say hi to our special guest, Alan Wright, because thank you for the blessings and prayers you and your wife did on my behalf, and I just want you to know, Chris, you know, I appreciate you taking over when I can't, so thank you for hanging in there, and everybody who don't know, he's having a problem with his teeth today, and I could have came back in and took over, but he got to fight through like I do.
Yep, fight through it. All right, so Alan Wright's on the line. Do you want to say hi to Alan, Terry?
Hey, Alan, darling, how you doing?
Hey, Terry, how are you doing? You feeling all right?
Well, I feel at peace for the moment, and I appreciate that you and your wife was saying a prayer on my behalf. I talked to my mom today, and today is one of her good days. Anybody who's dealing with Alzheimer's, you know you have good days and bad days.
Yeah.
It's a good day, and that made my heart happy. Now, if I get this house, though,
maybe
I'll be in a great day. But
God bless you and taking care of your mother there, Terry.
Huh?
God bless you and taking care of your mother.
Aww.
It takes a very special person to be able to do that. Alzheimer's is a very terrible disease.
Yeah.
And it takes a very special person to be able to take care of your elderly mother like that. And God bless you.
Yeah,
and that's one reason why I gave you a blessing. My wife joined in, and you and your mother, and the things that you're doing. Maybe you can get a little peace today and a little bit relaxation.
No, I really appreciate it. So basically what we're trying to do, we all taking turns. There's only four of us, my brother Philip and my sister Stanford and Merlin and myself. We're taking turns trying to, you know, have it with us. So when I move, I'm bringing it back to the ocean, you know, so we can have, like the Golden Girls, sit out there and watch the ocean.
That's a great idea.
Well, I'm not going to take away from Chris's show, and I know you got a part two next week, I believe. Is that correct, Alan? You come back next week for part two?
I think this
is part two here, but I'll come back if you need me.
Chris, you're doing a great job, darling. I appreciate you. Mark, I appreciate you for being here to support him. And Alan, I appreciate you being the awesome guest that you are. You know, make me want to add you as a third co-host.
Yeah.
He's one of my favorite guests.
Yeah. I love that.
I'll just be the resident medium, maybe co-host medium.
There you go.
That
sounds good too, darling. We can make it happen. But Chris, I'm not going to take away from what you got to talk about. Y'all have a great show. I'm signing out.
All right, Terry. Thank you.
Welcome.
Bye-bye, Terry.
Bye, Alan. Bye, Chris.
Bye-bye. Have a good night. All right. Well, that was a little unexpected, and I did press Terry's number on accident, so I forgive me, Mark, for calling you.
No. Unexpected surprise.
Yeah.
Loved it.
All right. So let's get on with the show so we don't take any time away from Alan. So, Alan, I will start, and I will ask you, what is your book, which is why you're on here to promote it? It's called The Waves of Time. And what is it about?
Okay. First, let me tell you, maybe you didn't push that button by mistake. Maybe you were supposed to.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, my book, The Waves of Time, is my fifth book. I'm pretty fond of this book. It's my personal book, basically. I'm closer to it than the other ones for some reason. I've got a chapter in here, a first chapter in the book is for my wife, Lori. I tell about some of the things that she has done and the support that she gives me. You know, she's also a medium. She's an empath and a sensitive, and she's also went through some things too. Besides me, I think I helped her in a way because she didn't really realize what was going on with her until she got with me and I helped her a little bit. And we found out pretty much together that we were empaths. But anyway, our marriage is pretty much based on this. We help each other out in our abilities and stuff. Now, the second chapter in the book is basically about me and some of the experiences I've had. And then the next chapter is about my little dog that I had, a Chihuahua. His name was Lupa. And believe it or not, he still comes around as his little spirit does. He comes in once in a while, and he kind of sits beside us or whatever. I can feel him around me also when I'm doing my writing. But the rest of the book is pretty much there's one chapter in here about my 1955 Chevy being haunted. I don't know if you guys ever had a haunted car, but I had one. I talk some metaphysical things too in my book here. I basically talk about the meaning of life and what happens after you die. I talk about pretty much where we came from, and things like that. It's 100 and some odd pages, just packed full of information.
Well, it's I guess it'd be a good read for the autumn, since you know summer's almost over. It'd be a good read for the autumn. And Alan, people can get this at their local bookstores, right?
Well, actually, I'm selling them just on Amazon right now.
Just on Amazon. Well, that's good. I love Amazon. Yeah.
Yeah. You can either run a search for my name as an author, or you can, The Waves of Time, you can search for it that way also on Amazon. I can give you the website or my author's page there at Amazon. It's amazon.com/author/writealan. And that takes you right into where my books are at. You can buy Kindle books there and everything.
All right. And if any of our listeners have questions for Alan, they can call 347-945-6003. Make sure you press the 1 key so it comes up on the switchboard, and I will get to your call as soon as I can. Thanks to our listeners worldwide for listening. And, Mark, what's your question?
Yeah, Alan, I guess it's no secret that you are one of my all-time favorite guests. It's not only because you're the passive medium guy between my late mom and I, but also because of the fun and exciting way you make the paranormal world come to life for believers and scoffers alike. Do you have any messages for me from my beloved mother?
Well, yes, I did. In fact, I even told Terry to tell both of you guys that I had a message for both your mothers. But
I never got the memo.
My mother's still alive.
What's that?
Yeah, I'm sorry to cut you. I'm sorry to talk over you. That's so rude of me. I said my mother's still alive. I don't know what the message
would
have been.
Maybe it's not your mother then, Terry.
Well, her mother's still alive too. It's my mother that's gone.
Yeah, it's Mark's mother that's gone. Let me finish with Mark, and then I'll get with you. Maybe we have a thing going on.
Go ahead.
When I had a message from your mother, she just wanted me to tell you to continue on with what you're doing, because as I told you last time, she was very pleased in the way things were going for you, and she knew that you were struggling. But I told you at that time, you know, to ask her and draw you some strength from her, because she told me that she was your guardian angel at that time. And she told me to remind you to do that and to draw upon her strength and support, because she is watching over you, Mark. And that's what I wanted to tell you.
Well, you know, ever since you told me that the last time, I have taken it to heart. And when I pray, which is nearly every day, sometimes off by the hour, I always include her as well. I had a very vivid dream. Are you there?
Yes,
I had a very vivid dream a week or so ago. Where I actually talked to her. She called me on the phone, and I knew, I don't remember what she told me, Alan, but she told me, but I knew it was her instinctively. I've had many dreams about my mother, many, many, many. She's come to me in my dreams many times, but this is the first time that I actually heard her voice and knew it was her voice. I even called Terry right after that and told her about it. And it was, I'm convinced to a man that it was her. Can you tell me what about the departed that come to you in dreams?
Well, I was going to tell you, too, that she told me that she had been coming to you in your dreams. And she told me that she would continue doing that. And that's one thing that I was going to tell you, too, that I forgot to, but... So,
she certainly did.
I think what she told me about is what I told you now that she told me is probably what she told you in your dream.
Right. Yeah, and a little background. I've been struggling with things pretty much all my life, and I've only recently settled down after being an alcoholic and living a very tumultuous life. I mean, I've barely gotten stable the last 4 years, 4 or 5 years. So that's why she probably was concerned. When was I going to get it together?
Yeah.
Right, Alan?
I think she's rejoicing now where she's at, Mark, because she has saw the improvement. I know when she came to me the first time, she pushed forward to the front of the line, so to speak. She was very strong when she came to me. Yes, she was very strong when she came to me. I heard her voice quite clearly. And so I think she's very happy. In fact, I know she's very happy. I told you that first time there that she was very pleased with the choices that you had made, and that she was your guardian angel, and she was going to support you and give you strength. So just draw upon that, like I said. I think these are the things that she's trying to tell you in your dreams also.
I have been, and I thank you so much. It's very comforting for me to know that.
So continue on, Mark. You know, we all have hard times in our lives. I might be a medium and an empath, but I've had hard times in my life too. And I've done a little bit of drinking, and I've done, well, I never did hard drugs, but I did some marijuana in my day. Anyway, there comes a time we have to realize that drugs and alcohol, what it does, the bad thing that it does, it weakens your spirit. And when your spirit is weakened, then you cannot make the choices that you should make in order to move on to a better place in the life to come. And
I tell
you this lovingly, because I do love you as a fellow brother, so to speak, and give you a little bit of brotherly love there. That I too am pleased with the choices that you made. Your mother made it pretty clear as to what you were doing, what you were going through. I couldn't tell you all the stuff that she was telling me at the first time on the radio, because I thought it was quite personal. But anyway, you're
Thank
doing
you.
A good job, and she's happy with you.
Thank you.
All right, now, Alan. Yeah, that's very nice. Now, Alan, this is Chris. So
yes, I had a woman come to me, and I thought it was your mother. She kind of identified herself to me as your mother also. I thought I had two mothers coming through today, but apparently she wasn't.
I don't know who that could have been.
It could have been one of your grandmothers. I don't know. She came to me. Let me think here. Try to get in touch with her again here. Do you have a grandmother in the past?
Yeah, she passed away in 2004, I believe,
Pretty sure then that's who is contacting me.
Okay.
She also is telling me to tell you that she gives you her love and support, but were you did you know her quite well?
I knew her quite well, she was, I'm not going to go into the details, but she wasn't always the nicest woman, but I knew her quite well, and I loved her,
Well, that's kind of what I'm getting. I'm getting kind of like some kind of stress or some kind of, I don't know how to put it, like you said, she might not have been the nicest person at one time, but I'm kind of picking up on that. But I think she's sorry for what she's done, because she told me that she loves you and she supports you.
Okay.
I also picked up, like I said, there was something there, like a gap, like there was a portion of the not connecting there between you and her, but now she's telling me that she loves you.
All right, well, tell her I love her too, she can hear me. I love her too, and I thank her for her support. All right, no, Alan.
She's telling me too to make sure that you do love her. I think she's kind of wondering, but well,
yeah,
okay.
I said I loved her. Yeah.
Okay, she's gone
all right.
Now.
All right, Alan. Now, for people who don't, for new audiences, you know, there's always new audiences. Tell people just a little snippet of your background, and then we're going to go to a break. When did you know you was a medium?
Well, I was born in 1949 in Phoenix, Arizona, and my mother and grandmother had abilities that they used to for their family and members in their family. They could tell a lot of times when something was going to happen in the family or to a member of the family, I inherited those abilities. And during my school time and most of my life, I've had to keep them kind of quiet because I was going to school and stuff, and I couldn't really use my abilities at, you know, or let people know that I had them. But in 1983, I went and saw my grandfather, who died in 1982. And after I saw him, went to see him where he was at, my abilities started becoming stronger, and they've been coming stronger ever since then. And but that's pretty much, it's been a lifelong journey for me. Anyway.
All right. Well, on that note, everybody, we're gonna take a small break, and I'm gonna play a commercial about Terry's book Broken. Play a little upbeat song because it's getting a little. I want to keep the party going, and then we're gonna continue our conversation with Mr. Alan Wright and Mr. Mark Anthony Rio. Hang tight, everybody.
All right.
Controversial, real, unparalleled. Author is Terry E. Lyle, has written an autobiography entitled Broken. Terry talks about overcoming her personal battle with suicide, being homeless, selling and using drugs, and living the life of a She found that with prayer and her belief in God is real, that she was blessed to overcome all adversity to becoming the woman and authoress she is today. The book is $20 and can be purchased through Amazon, Kindle, createspace.com, and from her own personal website at www.terrylyle.com. It's yours today. And make sure you tune in to hear Terry on Unmasked each and every Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on blogtalkradio.com. The number 347-945-6003. That's 347-945-6003. And remember, through God's grace and mercy, all things are possible, for He will not leave you.
Hello, everybody. This is Chris Michael Ward. I'm filling in for authors Terry Lyle. I was going to play a song, but I want to give Alan all the time we can. I don't want to be rude, and I'm afraid that if I play a song, it just won't take time away from him. So I'm going to play a song at the end. But I want to thank you for listening to Unmasked with authors Terry Lyle. If you missed that earlier portion of the show, Carrie called in. But I am filling in for her this week, and she will be back. And I'm here with my co-host, Mark Anthony Rio, and the great Alan Wright, who, as I've said, is one of my favorite co-hosts. I mean, excuse me, Alan Wright is one of my favorite guests of all time.
You might as well be a co-host now.
Mark didn't know anything about that. We were going to tell him about that later, weren't we?
Yeah.
Forgive my misspoken words. Alan, or Mark, go ahead and ask your question.
I was listening to I was listening to the playback of your show that you did with Chris Michael a couple of months ago, and mm-hmm. you were talking about something very fascinating. You were talking about people that you've gone to school with, like in high school, and
yes.
you didn't know that they had passed away, but they came to you in a spirit.
Yes.
Around. Can you share more about that?
Yes. I've been graduated from high school now for a long time, but you know, when you're in high school, you meet a lot of people. Sometimes you have a lot of friends or near friends or something, you know, acquaintances. And a lot of times you don't keep track of them. You know, you lose track of what happened to them during your lifetime and stuff. And I found that a lot of these kids that I used to go to high school with, they come to me. What they do is they just tell me their name in spirit. And sometimes they tell it several times to me, and it keeps coming up in my mind. And then I'll go and investigate that person and come to find out that that person has passed on. And that's happened many, many times to me. I had a friend that was moved to, I think it was Washington State, and he bought some property there and stuff. And I had emailed him. We were communicating through emails. And a couple months went by, and all of a sudden I started getting his name in my mind. And sure enough, I researched it, and he had passed on just recently, you know. So, yeah, it's one of the abilities that I have that I kind of wish I didn't have. It's not too good to find out when your friends and people that you knew in high school are dying, especially at my age. They seem to be dying quite rapidly.
I know, it's true. But it's better to find out through them, you know, some them appearing before you than read it in an obituary or something, right?
Well, that's true, too. Well, like with him, I probably wouldn't have had known unless he had come to me and let me know. A lot of times I think they come to me to let me know that they have passed on so I can communicate that to other people. You know, like I lived in an area where I was born and raised for a long time, went to school, high school there, too. So we had kind of like a breakfast club and stuff like that where we would meet. And when somebody like that went to our school and passed on, then, you know, I could let them know too. I think it was that for that purpose mainly. And a lot of times I think they were just trying to let me know, let people know that they existed and that they had lived their lives and now, you know, and now they're gone, you know, type thing.
Right.
Wow. Well, Alan, like I said, I've been misspeaking my words a lot tonight. I don't know what the heck's wrong with me, but forgive me for calling you a co-host. I mean, I'm sure, like Terry said, we'd love to have you as a co-host, but it's not, nothing's official. So again, it was just my misspoken words. But my question is, how many books have you written, Alan?
I've written 5 books, or published 5 books. They're on the market now. My first book, Through the Veil and Back, was absolutely my first book. If you read it, it was kind of the spring book for my other books, you know. Springboard, I should say, for my other books. I had in there a little bit of everything. Each chapter is a short story. And then on my second book, At the Edge of Infinity, I kind of tried to say more about what I had written in my first book, you know, and tried to add to it and stuff, you know. And then my third book, Roads Less Traveled, that's basically pretty much the way my life is. I've taken roads less traveled all through my life. And then my fourth book is My Destination for the Truth. And I really thank everybody, you and I and the audience, everybody that's on earth is probably looking for the truth in some fashion, you know. And that my destination is also for the truth. I might go about it in a little bit different way than some other people, but that's what it is. And I have a bunch of things in there. My third and fourth book is actually fairly good too. I would recommend them.
Oh,
and then
all right.
Of course,
well,
my
yeah,
fourth
we...
book.
Yeah, the book you're promoting tonight, The Waves of Time. People need to buy that on Amazon, of course.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But we have the best audiences in the world, and if they want to call in and ask Alan, one of the best guests we've had in the world, a question, they can call 347-945-6003. Press the 1 key. Mark, what's your question?
You know, we've been having a lot of high-profile tributes like to John McCain, Aretha Franklin, you know, a lot of notable people have been passing on. When you, Alan, when you go to a wake or when you go to a funeral or you're among a recently departed person, do you pick up any extra little vibrations and visions and that kind of thing? Does it seem to work on you that way?
Well, let me tell you, I think one of the first funerals I went to was my great-grandmother when she died. The only thing is she died 2 years before I was born. But I remember as a little kid, I might have been maybe 5 years old. I had a dream, and I guess it was more like a vision type thing, but it happened at night. And I remember being in this room, and it was a funeral, and there was a casket up in front of the room. There was people there in the room, but I went up to the casket, and I did not know the lady that was in the casket. She had snow white hair, just pure white hair. And she was wearing a black dress. And the dress had a white lace collar on it, sort of like what they wore back in the 1940s, 30s or 40s. She was elderly, but for the life of me, I didn't know who she was. And later on, I went over to my grandparents' place, and like I said, my grandparents, well, my grandmother had abilities also, but anyway, I was in the living room, and I saw this picture on the mantle, and I went over and looked at it, and it was this woman in the same dress and with her snow-white hair. And I asked my grandmother, and I said, "Who is this woman?" She said, "Well, that's your great-grandmother." She said, "That's my grandmother." So I actually,
oh, wow.
She died in 1947, and I was born in 1949. So I actually saw her funeral two years after she died, or more than that, actually. I mean, I was 5 years old when I actually saw her in 1947 at her funeral. But that's the way the spirit works. My great-grandmother, I believe, really wanted me to know who she was, and that's the way she did it. And I thank her for that, because I've received other feelings since then, you know, after that, as a young boy, I realized that she had good feelings towards me, that she had loved me. I knew that she was a kind and considerate person. So Anyway, yeah, I get all kinds of feelings at a funeral when I go. I also, when I go to a funeral, I realize that I might be one of the only people in the room that really knows where the spirit is at that time, you know. Religions, unfortunately, sometimes give you the wrong impression as to where your spirit goes when you die. But when I went and saw my grandfather, I was told and shown a lot of things when I was there. When, you know, I think I told you this. When I came back from seeing my grandfather, I thought I had only been there for a few hours. You know, I saw, went to bed, had my astral projection, and it came back. It was morning time. I felt like I had stood before God. I felt like
I
had a glow about me, all that. Well, anyway, as I get older, I get little bits and pieces of information and knowledge from that trip that I took. And I realize now that I must have been there longer than what I was. I might have been there a year. I might have been there 20 years. I don't know. All I know is I was there longer than just a few hours. And when they brought me back, when I say they, I mean my ancestors and my grandfather. When I was brought back, I was brought back to the same time as I should have been in the morning when I got up. So, but anyway,
wow.
I know where the spirit goes and what happens to it after you die, because that's what I was told. You know, our spirits,
right.
Our spirits, they live forever. A scientist will even tell you that you cannot destroy energy. You can only change it. And our spirits is energy. Scientists can even measure that energy. And when you die, that energy has to go someplace. And that energy is your spirit and or consciousness, if you want to call it that. And it goes, the minute you die, it leaves your body and it goes to a place. With my grandfather, it was really a nice place. I called it paradise. I don't think Hitler or anybody like that would go there. But I've been to hell, too. And that's not a very good place to be.
Right.
And
it said that everyone has an aura about them, and you can sense evil on a person. Now, today, just like not my president, but and somebody else's president, it's scary how evil this man is. I mean, I put him on a level with Hitler. Okay, that's just my personal opinion. But how can you sense evil in other people?
Well, pretty much so. I'm an empath, and I can tell a bullcrap a long ways off. I can usually tell when somebody is lying to me. I have kind of a sense as to how the person is. You know, I think he won the presidency because there really wasn't any other choice. People was fed up with Washington at that time, and I think they just did it. They voted for him just to shake the place up a little bit, you know. And
grass is always greener, right?
Yeah, really. I don't know, but you know, change is coming, I guess.
First of all, Mark, I have something to say to you. You know, we live in the United States, and I'm with you. Well, I don't agree with Trump, but he is he's the president of the United States, so he's all of our presidents. Even though he, you know, and people have free will, and of course he got in, and you know his free will is to be a jackass. So he's all of our presidents, and people want to change, and they got it. So, But Alan, I want to do a programming note for everybody. I just got a text from Terry. She comes back September 14th, and on September 21st, I will be doing a 2-hour show, and I don't know who the guest is. I got to look that up. So I just want to get that programming note in there. Now, Alan, my question is, when you sense somebody's lying to you, or you sense an evil person, how do you calling them out can be dangerous. How do you deal with those people?
Well, I try to avoid them. Number one, I cannot deal with a person that I cannot trust. I just don't mess with them. I as an empath, I don't have a whole bunch of friends. But the ones I have been with me for years and years and years. I trust them. They trust me. But if I just meet somebody and I know he's lying through his teeth, if I know that he's no good, I just can't deal with him. I don't know what else to say. I just leave him alone and go my separate way, you know. There's been a lot of people on Facebook that I've had to unfriend because they've made comments and stuff that was very, I felt very, very bad and shouldn't be made on Facebook.
Yes. Amen.
Thank God it wasn't me.
You know, one thing I learned when I went to see my grandfather, I was never asked what religion I was. I was never asked what church I went to. It was all based on love. They wanted to know if I loved my family. They wanted to know if I loved my next door neighbor. They wanted to know, you know, if I loved mankind. They also wanted to know if I loved the earth. Their thing was not doing evil and not, you know, Sister Teresa, you know, she was a Catholic, and I'm not a Catholic, but Sister Teresa, I believe, was an example of somebody that was going to be in heaven soon after her death. And I believe if you live your life where you love people and, you know, you don't have to love the evil people, the nasty people. You don't have to love them necessarily, but just stay away from them, you know, so that you don't get into it with them. But if you live your life that way and you make good choices, like I told Mark, I know a lot of people that's been on drugs really bad, and I think probably worse so than Mark ever thought about being. But it weakens your spirit, and what happens is it allows the evilness to take over is what it does. And that evilness comes from the spirits that's beyond the veil, the evil spirits. And told you last time, too, I didn't want to scare your audience, but I myself and a lot of the mediums feel that the veil's becoming thinner and also closer. And when that happens, that means you're going to have more paranormal situations happening. You'll also have more mediums because they'll be able to hear things and be able to see things that they probably were not able to before. What else could I say? Oh, I don't know if I told you this that last time either, but everything on this earth has a lifetime, a lifespan. We have lifespans, trees have lifespans, animals, everything has a spirit, has a lifespan. And the earth has a lifespan because it has a spirit. I don't know if I told you that last time either, but the earth has a spirit, just like a living individual. And that means it has a lifespan also, and it's going to come to an end, just like everybody. When that happens, there will not be another veil. The veil will be gone. And whatever was on the other side of the veil will be gone also. Now, I don't know whether we will still be here. I don't think so. I think probably before the earth ends, we will be, I don't know, taken someplace. I don't know. But I don't think we will be here. So when the veil vanishes, all that stuff that was on the other side will be gone. And where it goes, I hate to think where it will go, but it will go to a place that's very dark. And I'm not going to say anything more. I'm going to get your viewers all upset. And
all right. Well, we only got a few more minutes, guys. So I just wanted to do a programming note again and let you know that next week we have Alan coming back, according to the notes I have. And so we will have a part, I guess it'll be his fifth appearance because he's been on four times. So, and then on the 21st, we have part three. What is it, Alan?
This will be a part three coming up, I guess, huh?
Yeah, part three.
This was supposed to be part two.
Okay, well, Alan, I'm sorry for my misinformation.
You're doing great.
Okay, thank you. My guest will be Roy Hunnam, and that will be
Hunnam.
A two-hour show, Mark Anthony. Huh?
Roy Hunnam.
Roy Hunnam. Okay, I'm sorry. Roy Hunnam. So that's that's our show coming up. That's the 21st. We have a two-hour show. Oh, Lord, 2 hours with us. So with me and Mark. And Alan, I'm going to thank you for coming on. And, again, you're so understanding and so forgiving. But, again, I want to make sure that you know that I'm so sorry for my false information. So, yeah.
You're doing so good, Chris. You're doing so good. Don't worry about it. No, I sure don't worry about it. You didn't offend me any, so... Don't worry about it. You're doing really good. So,
all right,
and Mark, you always
you.
Do good too.
Oh yeah, Mark's awesome, and thank you. But all right, well,
I just have a real quick question, Chris.
Yeah.
I just wanted to ask you. I was going to ask you earlier, since you've been to heaven, right? Are the streets paved with gold? Is that true?
Actually, where I was at was paradise, and it's a place just like Earth, except perfect. All the animals, trees, grass, everything is perfect. Colors are brilliant. There's no death there, no sickness there, but it's not the highest place in heaven. Paradise is where you go to prepare yourself for another level of heaven, and heaven itself is the top level, where the streets are paved with gold, and it's where God resides.
Well, that's where we're all going, right?
Yeah, hopefully we'll make our way there.
All right. And
that's what
I'm
aiming for.
Let's all go to heaven. That's what we got to live by example, and we all have to live by example and do our part.
That's right.
On the 14th. Exactly. Programming note, on the 14th, me and Terry and Mark Anthony Real will be talking X-Rated with Jane, I think, is that what it says, Jade, the goddess of womb. So next, the 14th is going to be X-Rated, so parental advisory advised. So,
X-Rated,
all
right. My business.
Yeah, X-Rated. All right, well, I'm going to cut it short here so I can play the song that leads us out, and it's a long song. So thank you, Alan Wright, for coming on. You are
thank
one
you,
of my
Alan. Thank you, Alan.
And
Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Chris.
And thank you to Mark Anthony Rowe for co-hosting, and we will see you, me and Mark Anthony Rowe, and I think Terry too. Just me and Mark. I can't keep track. Anyway, we will see you next week, same time, same place. Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you, Terry. Love you, Terry.
Places in my life and time. I've sung a lot of songs. I've made some bad ones. I've acted out my life in stages with 10,000 people watching. But we're alone now. And I'm singing this song to you. I know your image of me is what I hope to be. I treated you unkindly, but darling, can't you see? There's no one more important to me. Through me, 'cause we're alone now, and I'm singing this song to you. You taught me precious secrets of a true love, holding nothing. You came out in front when I was hiding. Listen to the melody, 'cause my love is in there hiding. Time. I love you for my life.